Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. All right. I have Dysa Horner here today. And gosh, we met back in like November, January, I don't know, late last year.
I know. It was still slightly chilly, so
It was cold, I don't remember. She's just doing really cool things. I love her approach to finances and how she helps people in that world, or through that, through that way of helping people, maybe just approaching finance a little different than what we typically think of. And she'll talk to you about that. But I just wanted to briefly introduce her. So in terms of work, that's what she does. She helps people kind of with adulting, right? And finance.
Yeah, essentially.
But her story goes really well beyond that, and I just think you guys are going to kind of have fun. So, Dysa, I'd love to hear you introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. So, Dysa Horner, it's my grandmother's name, in case anyone's wondering, because it is a little tricky and unique. But I grew up in Allegan, Michigan, in a pretty typical middle-class family. My mom stayed at home and my dad worked at Consumers Energy. And then as far as schooling goes, ended up moving up to the Grand Rapids area for college. I went to Grace Bible, now Grace Christian, and graduated with a degree in human services. And then randomly kind of wound my way up into finances. So
awesome. So when you are, when you think of your story, right, and kind of your journey to end up where you were or where you are and how you got there, and how you've sort of found this way of working with people, as a way of helping them and offering something that's obviously really valuable and kind of in time, right, creates freedom for people, right? Financial freedom in some sense, or in every sense, I guess. How would you, what does that, put that in your own words. What does that sound like to you, or what does that look like? How did that come to be?
Yeah. So quite a few different things, obviously, but starting in 10th or 11th grade, I would say I realized I wanted to help people somehow as far as a career goes. Like I never really had any direction, just like a lot of us. And, you know, that we'd take career tests or we'd try to get a direction. And I'm like, well, I like all the subjects in school. I'm pretty decently good at all of them. Like, that's not helping me figure it out. And I think it was partially working at a Christian camp down in Allegan called Beach Point that caters mostly to inner city Chicago kids. And so I'd been volunteering there during the summer. And I think that's kind of where it stemmed from, like, okay, I'm going to help people. And that's how I ended up choosing Grace, because they had a human services program that I really liked and enjoyed. And through that learned, and human services is comparable to like a social work degree. But through that, it didn't really give me a direction of where I did want to go. It more helped me figure out where I didn't so much want to go. So I didn't really want to be a caseworker in social work. I didn't really want to work at a nonprofit. I was interested in working with at-risk youth still, but a lot of those jobs start you off second shift, and my husband worked an early, kind of strange first shift schedule. So all those things kind of got ruled out, and I ended up at Starbucks to match his schedule and figure out what the heck I wanted to do. And the plan was to only be there 3 months, which turned into 2.5 years, but all for good reason. Actually, about a month into working there, a regular customer and I ended up chatting for like an hour or so after one of my shifts, and he had a similar degree, worked at some places I was interested in. So I was like, okay, he's 5 or 10 years older, he's done some things that I like, maybe he can give me some kind of direction of where I want to go next. And he randomly was getting some financial licenses. He didn't pursue them at all, but he was describing the field to me because I would have thought it was number crunching and a desk job, and I didn't care to do that at all. And he's like, no, it's super relational. You sit down with people, you hear about their goals and dreams and how you can help them get there. And so I was like, okay, that actually sounds super interesting and fulfilling. And my husband, Matt, and I wanted something we could do together. And it seemed like it was something we could pursue together. I liked the idea of setting my own schedule. And at the time, I'm sure you're familiar with Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Most people, at least in West Michigan, are. And so we had been following him for about 6 months. So we had gotten on a really strict budget and we're getting out of debt and we're just finding a lot of empowerment and fulfillment in doing that for ourselves. But looking into companies, not a lot of companies really care about the debt you have. They don't really focus on that. It's kind of like, oh, you have debt. That's cool. You can still afford this much on your credit card. Or like, here's a loan that you can get. And so we wanted to be able to help people do that and then kind of apply all those concepts that Ramsey teaches because we really believe in a lot of what he does. But like I said, most companies don't uphold those same values. And so it took us 6 or 7 months till we stumbled across Primerica Financial Services, who we've been with for over 2.5 years now. And it was everything we wanted in a company. We just didn't know it was out there. So actually focusing on debt, helping people apply all those things, put together game plans, and it's all affordable for people. And that was a big thing for me because my family was a family that could have never afforded to go pay a financial planner $200 an hour or pay $1,000 for a plan to get put together. And I think that's part of the reason finance tends to be so intimidating for people is they think it is expensive, and sometimes it is. So
it can be, mm-hmm. Which is the irony in it a little bit. What are some of the things that you've just sort of experienced in your life that have helped you or maybe now you find really helpful in terms of connecting with clients?
Yeah. So lots of things. I mean, I credit my mother a lot for raising me to be an independent and strong person. And like I had a real fear of calling people when I was a child. And also if I got the courage up to call them and they didn't answer, I would hang up before I had to leave a voicemail. Like, and now thank goodness she pushed me to do that. And I have to make phone calls like every single day. Right. So I'm super thankful for that. And then obviously I said being at camp played a role. And then I don't know when I realized, or if it was right away, I don't really remember, but with being in finance, it really applies a lot to a big piece of my family's story. So when I was 12, in May of 2007, my dad was, well, I guess it was June, he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And to me, I just always had this real faith that he was going to be healed. And so I was scared, obviously, through the whole process. But I don't know, I had this underlying hope. Mm-hmm. And so as I said earlier, you know, he was the sole breadwinner. My mom was staying at home, and we have a lot of things to be thankful for about that situation. Like, it was during the summer, so my sister and I got to be home all summer long with him, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she didn't have work calling her name every day, and Consumers Energy is a great company, and they were super good to him, and, but by September, the end of September, he ended up passing, and, I mean, a couple of things about that situation, like, because I had so much hope he was going to be healed, it was a little confusing mm-hmm. by the time it happened. But thankfully, like, my family has a lot of faith and is pretty strong in their faith. So I knew that even, like, I just thought in my head the way that God would be glorified the most was by healing him. And so when that didn't happen, it was like, well, obviously that's not his plan, but he's going to use this somehow for a greater purpose in my life. And who would have ever thought it would have been in finance? Like, I definitely would not have seen that. But looking back, it all makes sense because my family, even prior to my dad getting sick or anything, they hadn't made the greatest financial decisions. They were doing good things for us kids. My sister Taylor, just under me, and I went to a private Christian school from preschool and myself to fourth grade. And then I have 2 siblings that are internationally adopted, and that's like $30,000 a kid, so that's not cheap. So throughout that whole process, you know, they had just gotten into debt, they'd drained his 401k, and I'm sure they were at a point, my younger siblings, they had come home when they were 7 months and 3, and so we were at the like 3-year mark of both of them being home. Okay. And so I'm sure they were thinking, you know, my dad was getting promoted. He was in a manager position. He was making pretty decent money. I'm sure they thought, all right, now's the time where our financial life gets back on track.
Right.
And then who would ever anticipate him at the age of 42 getting pancreatic cancer? That's it. That's a cancer that comes in, you know, 70-year-old men, mm-hmm. not 42-year-old men. So, but I know that if my parents would have had someone like myself now and what I do sit down with them, they probably would have been in a better spot leading up to his death. But thankfully, you know, they had enough foresight to have life insurance. So my mom was able to, like, pay off our old home and buy us a new home, which we really needed. There was 6 of us and then 5 of us with a 3-bedroom house, which could have been fine, but my youngest 2 siblings are opposite gender, so they can't share a room for forever. Like, right. That just doesn't work. And so she was able to buy us a new house. And from that point on, you know, knowing what I know now, she had enough to live on, but it was also a significant pay cut compared to what my dad was making. And right. Thankfully, we're super blessed she was able to stay home and everything still. And yeah, but I just see that as now in finance, I'm able to help people either prepare for the worst in the situation that does happen, but also if someone would have sat down with my mom immediately after his death and helped her know how to spend the life insurance maybe more efficiently, more long term, she would have been in a better spot or just all along the way. But money is super intimidating. And when you're, as you know, like a single mom raising kids, you have enough on your plate, let alone dealing with money, right. Especially if that's not your strong suit. Right. And that's something my dad mostly took care of. So just being able to help couples get on the same page and both at least know a little bit of what's going on, or at least they know I'm the go-to person. If something happens, they can call me,
right.
And we can work through it together. So it's been really beautiful and cool to see how God took that really tragic situation and is helping me use that in my future and to bring hope and healing to other people. And it's really developing into quite a few different things as of late. So I'm really excited to see just continued how that all plays into where I'm going and how I'm able to help people.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So for you, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but could I safely say, so for you, like your resilience, comes a lot from your faith. Like, do you feel like those two things are pretty intertwined for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, thankfully, during that time of my dad being sick, it, you know, honestly, if I didn't have faith, I have no idea what our family would have done, let alone a 13-year-old, and let alone, you know, I feel blessed sometimes because I was almost 13, whereas my siblings were 11, 5, and 6. Mm. So I was old enough to process everything a little better, and I was old enough to kind of rely on my faith. Yeah, and then just choosing to learn from that rather than dwell in the past.
Yeah, I think that's something that has been popping up a lot recently in a couple different conversations that I've had with people talking about that choice, right? Like whether it's a hardship or a failure or a just something that didn't go the way that we would have hoped or mm-hmm. would have imagined, that you have that choice, right, in that moment to either go, well, now we're done, right, mm-hmm. or to say, okay, there's something in there. There's, mm-hmm. if we keep going, there's something there we can find in that. So it's interesting to hear the different, just the different ways people get there and view that or what that is for them. Like, mm-hmm. what was that thing? So for you and your husband, you're creating just this really cool thing, right? Like you have the backing of Primerica as you go through things, which is really great. Mm-hmm. But you have some pretty big stuff happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So recently, as of, I actually went back and finally looked, I was like, it was February or March. So just this past year, I'm part of a women's group that the founder allows anyone that has a professional practice to come in and teach on it. And so I offered to teach a couple, she calls them circles, her gathering, so a couple circles. And, you know, kind of polled the members in the group, saw what they wanted to talk about, and it was budgeting and debt, which makes sense. Those are the, in a lot of people's heads, the worst and most overwhelming part of getting their finances straight. So I announced that's what we were going to talk about, and someone commented on the announcement and said, hey, can we talk about the emotions behind money and how that plays into our relationships? And I was like, yeah, of course, I think I can tie that in. And
very cool.
Tying it in ended up being mostly like 80% of our focus or 90% of our focus is going to be on that. And then the budgeting and the getting out of debt are really good additions to that, because that really helps you tame those emotions and help get them under control. So through that, I left the first one and was like, oh my goodness, I need to be able to lead these more places, and people need to be able to have these conversations more often, because money's kind of taboo. So talking about it is scary in general. And then to talk about how you feel anxiety or fear or shame or guilt around it is even more taboo. And then you feel bad that you feel bad about money.
Right. Yeah. That really vicious cycle there, right?
Yeah. And we don't get the chance to step back and say, oh, you know, this is why I am the way I am. This is where my maybe unhealthy view of money comes from, mostly our parents, and seeing how they deal with money, of course. Right. And then how that's playing out now. And so there's, I dug up something as I was researching into this topic called, it's called money scripts, which is basically money beliefs, or I like to call them money personalities.
Okay.
And so through that, that gives people words to say, oh, this is why I am the way I am, and it's okay. Other people are the way I am too. And I think in relationships, that's helpful, because you can say, oh, that's why he does X, Y, and Z, or that's why she acts like this, or that's why she's so uptight about money. Mm-hmm. You can learn to understand each other, and it gives you words. So just from that, have been given more and more opportunities to have more of those kind of conversations. I'm developing a money personality quiz right now, and that'll play into those. And then nothing other than that, nothing crazy concrete, but yeah. I have some other visions of where it's going to go, so.
Very cool. And you've had an opportunity to speak recently, right?
Yeah.
At an event. I'd love to hear about that. I couldn't go, which made me a little batty, because I'm all about showing up for my people. And so I was really sorry I couldn't be there, but I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. So it's through an organization called Battle of the Gains. I don't know if you're familiar with them here in town. Mm-mm. So Will Ellermans is who runs it. I would advise everyone to look into it. It's all about helping, especially youth, turn their losses into gains.
Nice.
So kind of exactly what your podcast is all about and what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And gains in any area of their life. So whether that's physical, spiritual, emotional, financially, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just creating events and other things and resources to equip them to do so. And so he hosts an annual event every year. This was his fourth one, I believe. And this year was the first year they initiated having what he called battle talkers in it. So there was probably, I would guess, somewhere between 20 and 30 of us that he asked to talk. And we just got 10 minutes, I think, around that to talk about some kind of event we've overcome in our life, and how, like, give people tips of how we did that, or just sharing our stories. And so everyone chose a different piece of their story. Some people talked about that horrible time in business that they had, that they were sleeping on the floor of their apartment and transformed that into the business they have today. Or my main focus was talking about some of those little things, like not being able to talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then the major thing being my dad. And then a couple of things after that that I've just learned throughout my life. And yeah, so it was cool to have the opportunity to share that story. Just because I think I always knew, like I said, that my family story would be used somehow. And so to be able to be a spokesperson to that and help other people find hope and healing through our family's journey is really important, and a real honor to have been able to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that is. And And so often you don't get to do it in that way where it's that, like, obvious, right? Or it's like, here's my story and I get to tell it, and that helps people. It's so often the other part of what you do, which is like, my story has gotten me to where I am now, and so this is what I do as a job, and I love what I do, and it's great. But there's not that necessarily like out front where everybody can see it.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So that's really cool. So what do you have coming up? Do you have any events coming up for people to catch you? Or
yes, it's August. Oh, I should have wrote these down before I came, I guess. August 16th, I believe. It's a Saturday coming up. 17th. The 17th at the Hive Yoga, which is on Alpine Avenue in Grand Rapids here. It's going to be one of my emotional conversations. And they're calling it emotional investment because their whole theme is about how can you invest in yourself. And so we're just going to have those vulnerable conversations, or I guess people can be as vulnerable or as not vulnerable as they want to be. Some other things coming up is no dates on them yet, but okay. I'm partnering with Mom Hive and hosting a workshop as well. And Alyssa is actually the one that gave me the idea for the personality quiz.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool. And then Squad Betty too. I'm partnering with Elise to host an event for the Bettys.
Nice. All good stuff. Yeah, if you're local to Grand Rapids, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. And all three of those that you mentioned, Hive Yoga and Mom Hive and Squad Betty, seem to always be in the mix on those things. So if you can't check Dice out in one of those three, check out those groups because there's always cool stuff coming out that they're doing. And you're likely maybe to run into one of us there.
Yeah,
so,
<no kidding.
laughs> so if somebody wants to connect with you, and I'll put this all in the show notes for everybody too, but just verbally, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, so I don't have any, as far as like Facebook business pages, I don't have a business page. So my personal page is fine. Instagram is Dysa.Alexandra. And then I do have a website. It's www.primerica.com/Dysa Horner, which is D-I-C-I-A. And outside of that, I mean, I'll let you post my personal phone number and email on there. And those are good ways to reach out too. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to share or talk about
it
all?
I don't think so. Yeah. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. And yeah, it's been really cool and honestly just an honor to watch you these last few months, less than a year that I've gotten to know you, and see kind of how things have grown for you and where you're headed. And every time I sit down with you, I'm like, I have more ideas and more like, oh, and this is just so cool. And I get just so excited about what you do and how you do it, and love to watch the ways you're getting connected. So, yeah, but just thank you so much for your time and for hopping on here today.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, have an awesome end of summer. And thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.